5 years after the Abu Ghraib scandal, here's another Abu Ghraib-style chamber of horrors, another glimpse of how the dark side really works. This is one of the Bush torture memos released by the Obama administration last week. It was written by this man. The other memos were written by this man. The New York Times has already demanded that Congress impeach Biden, who's got his lifetime seat in a federal appeals court from George W. Bush. Everyone knew about it. Here's former Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, who along with Carlo Machiavelli Rove and Lewis Scooter Libby was one of the leakers of the identity of CIA agent Valerie Plame.
So when you knew that the administration of which you were a part was departing from the Geneva Conventions and sidelining them, why didn't you quit?
In hindsight, maybe I should have, but you won in those positions. You see how many more battles will you have. You maybe fool yourself. You say, how much worse would X, Y, or Z be if I weren't here?
And here's the former executive director of the 9/11 Commission. One more player joining the I was against it too, but in the end I did not resign crowd. And more crucially, here's Armitage again on why this is all may end up being another whitewash.
So the question is, if you don't think that a legal process is the process, what process do you think should be followed?
Well, you might go back to what was envisioned by the framers of the Constitution. It was called congressional oversight. This is their job. I don't think that members of the Senate particularly want to look into these things, or they might have to look at themselves in the mirror. Where were they? They're your representatives, too. They weren't here. They weren't doing their job. They were AWOL, absent without leave.
Don't expect Madam Speaker Nancy Pelosi to investigate herself. Torture seems to be a bipartisan sport. Armitage also said that he and his then-boss Colin Powell lost the battle to respect the Geneva Conventions during Bush's first term. Japanese officers were tried for war crimes after World War II by the United States because they used waterboarding, but not Bush administration officials. Welcome, once again, to American exceptionalism. The question is not that the torture memos should have been kept secret, as the CIA wanted.
I think that argument is really a lot of nonsense. Our enemies already know what the techniques are because we have carried out these techniques on the enemy.
The question is how to apply justice. Austrian law professor Manfred Novak, the Geneva-based UN Human Rights Council top torture investigator, is adamant. He said, and I quote, "President Barack Obama's decision not to prosecute CIA operatives who used questionable interrogation practices violates international law." But don't expect from corporate media anything else but whitewash.
Well, I have reservations about all this. You know, it's hard for me to look at a great nation issuing these documents and sending them out to the world and thinking, oh, much good will come of that. Sometimes in life, you want to just keep walking.
People all over the world, they were hoping that the so-called Bush Six, okay, just recapitulating, former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, former Undersecretary of Defense Douglas Feith, Dick Cheney's former Chief of Staff David Addington, John Yoo and Jay Bybee, Yoo and Bybee from the Justice Department, and Pentagon lawyer William Haynes, they would one day catch a flight to Europe for some R&R and be arrested on the spot by judges claiming universal jurisdiction over crimes against humanity. Just as it happened to that notorious torture dictator Augusto Pinochet from Chile during the late 1990s. It won't happen. Spanish prosecutors put the ball back in the U.S. court. But what about this gentleman?
I'm in the Oval Office, and I am told that we have captured Khaled Sheikh Mohammed, and the professionals believe he has information necessary to secure the country. So I ask, what tools are available for us to find information from him? And they gave me a list of tools, and I said, are these tools deemed to be legal? And so we got legal opinions before any decision was made. And I think when people study the history of this particular episode, well, they'll find out we gained good information from Khalik Sheikh Mohammed in order to protect our country.
Well, if he had studied the history, he would have learned he didn't protect anything, as even interrogators deride torture as useless.
Some U.S. flag rank officers maintain that the first and second identifiable causes of U.S. combat deaths in Iraq, as judged by their effectiveness in recruiting insurgent fighters into combat, are respectively the symbols of Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. And there are others who are convinced that the proximate cause of Abu Ghraib was the legal advice authorizing abusive treatment of detainees that issued from the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel in 2002.
And apparently legal counsel also told the great decider it was okay to torture Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's children with swarms of bugs. The CIA still insists waterboarding works. 183 waterboarding sessions, 15 seconds a session in 1 month. Who Khalid Sheikh Mohammed thought he was? Iron Man. And what about this gentleman's mission accomplished?
My general sense of where we are with respect to Iraq, and at the end of now, nearly 6 years, is that we've accomplished nearly everything we set out to do.
Paraphrasing Tacitus, quite an accomplice to destroy the cradle of civilization and call it victory. Will Obama be swayed to ship Cheney to a really accomplished destination, The Hague, so he could be tried for treason and crimes against humanity? The president says never again. But oops, not so fast. Under Obama's executive orders, the CIA is still engaged in extraordinary renditions and shipping suspects to overseas contractors, U.S. allies in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe. There will be a lot of pressure, and the White House may have to back down. But not Dick Engler Cheney.
It's important the United States not come across as arrogant, but it's also important as we not come across as weak or indecisive or apologetic. We did during the Bush administration take some very tough, bold action in terms of trying to deal with and defend the nation as well as our allies against that terrorist threat.
And he's still convinced torture works. So why not come up with a special prosecutor, or better yet, a truce commission, and call the Engler's bluff? And all this is happening while an even more damning dark side memo has not even been declassified. This is shaping up as a case of American exceptionalism one cannot believe in. Without accepting responsibility for torture and illegal preemptive wars as well, and without accountability, there can be no catharsis in America. Obama's got to know that if his going forward is perceived like, look the other way, this whole thing will come back to haunt his presidency. And if it walks and talks like a whitewash, that's because it must be a whitewash.
There are times when reality just asserts itself, in spite of the haze created by television news and entertainment. Sometimes crisis rips a tear in the fabric of myth and propaganda. Now a profound economic crisis has ripped asunder the American dream itself. Millions of people losing jobs and homes. They lack proper health care and any real sense of security. Since 2001, workers' wages have fallen or remained stagnant, even though worker productivity has risen almost 33%. By 2006, the top 1% of households were receiving 23% of all pre-tax income, more than double what it was in the 1970s. It's the greatest concentration of income since 1928. As unemployment rises, we need to know why this crisis is happening and what we can do to defend ourselves. Why are wages so low? Why is the society so laden with debt? Is it in ordinary Americans' interest to have a $1 trillion military budget to project power across the globe? Corporate television news won't ask these questions, let alone try to find answers. Only a truly independent news network can tackle these questions with courage and with ordinary people's interests in mind. We need a news network that's independent of corporations, governments, and political parties. We need the real news. But there won't be a real news network unless we raise substantial funds right away. The current financial crisis has hit our funding hard. Together, we do have the power to turn it around. There are already hundreds of thousands of people watching the real news every month. If everyone pitches in, we can build an internet and cable television network that will change the face of media forever. You can organize house parties, talk to friends at school and at work, send email blasts and spread the word. Distribute this video to everyone you know. Pick up the phone and call a few friends and suggest they visit therealnews.com. Invest just 10 minutes a day to ask friends and colleagues to join the campaign to create a truly independent source of internet and television news. Together, we can build this network. Just 50,000 people at $10 a month gets us to our first level of sustainability. You can help us reach this goal, and when we do, we'll move to television in millions of homes across North America. Help us reach an audience in the millions. Please contribute generously. Spread the word. Let's make the Real News Television Network a reality.
Your tax-deductible donation makes it possible. Please contribute at therealnews.com.